Be'ezrat Hashem's book, we begin Perek Echad Ve'Esrim, the 21st chapter in the Ram Masechet Shabbos Nesivos Man, Book of Designated Times, where now that we finished going through the whole Lamatas Malachas, all the 39 prohibited categories, now we begin the discussion regarding the rabbinic prohibitions included in what's known as Shvusim, which, as it says in the Torah, this concept, which in this parak we just start from the beginning, from the first Malacha of plowing, going all the way to the Malacha of Lisha, of kneading. As Rambam gets halacha off regarding first discussing the malacha of plowing. It says in the Torah to desist, which tells us even things that are not prohibited activities, not one of the lamatas malachas, one has to desist from it. Now, it's not everything. Not everything that you do during the week that you have to stop on Shabbos. Rather, dvarim harbe, there are many things that Rabbanan said is forbidden mishum shvus because of this concept of desisting. Mehem, some of them are dvar masurim, prohibited things, b'neishim dvarim lamalachas, because they're similar to the malachas. Mehem, certain things dvar masurim are forbidden, because gezer is a rabbinic decree, shemeyav mehem is a skill, because you might come from these activities to commit a prohibition that would be liable for being stoned to death. So that's where, how the rabbinic qualified this concept of shvus. Ve'elohim, and these are them starting from the order of the lamatas malachas, as we spoke about in Perek Zion going onward, we start from the first malacha. Halacha base. So kol ha-mash v'gumais. Whoever smooths out pits in a field, that's a liability because of plowing, because that's what plowing evens out the field that you could plant it. That's essentially what mash v'gumais is. Lefigur, therefore, related concept. Also lihiponis b'stehanid b'shabbos, rabbinically, this shvuz is forbidden for one to defecate, to relieve themselves in a plowed field, which is plowed one time before the planting, which there's oftentimes many mounds when it was plowed one time. It's forbidden to defecate over there on Shabbos, because gezeirah is a rabbinic decree, shemi yashav gumais, because you want to relieve yourself, you might end up smoothing out one of the pits over there, and therefore that's a shvuz related to the first malach of chayish. So someone's clearing out his storehouse that he has on Shabbos. Why? Purpose. So then you let it clear it out. For example, that he could bring in guests, or Yikvod Bay Medrash, or that he could have a study lecture over there. Lo yigmes kol ha'itzeh. Should not clear out the entire storehouse, because he's going to clear out the whole thing. He might come to smooth out the pits that he has over there as he just cleared out the whole room. So to tichal gabi ragli, if he has mud on his foot, you could wipe it off on the wall or on a beam, not on the ground. As he's wiping it on the ground, he might end up smoothing out a pit. So to loyorik b'karkav yashav ragli, a person should not spit on the ground and smooth it out with his foot. He might, in that process, smooth out a pit. However, you're allowed to step on spittle that's on the ground. If you're going innocently the way you're normally going, and that is not a concern of mashav gumis. Halacha gimel. The women who play with nuts and almonds and similar types of things, they play a game. So asur l'sachik b'hem Shabbos, and I'll play with these nuts on Shabbos because they play with rolling on the ground. They might come because the nuts are getting stuck on the ground. They might come to smooth out the pits. Again, all for the problem of that it's similar or bringing to that of chayrish. Now let us sweep the earthenware ground, because Shemi Yashav Gumis, come to smooth out the pits. Elam Kinah Yirotzeh Babonim, unless if it was tiled with stone, then there's no such problem. And the Mutal Azalef Mayim Agabekarki, you're allowed to sprinkle water on the ground, that it shouldn't be dust that's rising. Ve'in Echayish Shemi Yashav Gumis, and then you're not concerned they might come to smooth out the pits. Shadein Miskam Lekach, that's not his intention when he's putting down the water, it's just not to have the dust go up. In Sachin Esar Karka, you're not allowed to smear oil on the ground, even if it was tiled with stones. And you're not allowed to blow the dust, and you cannot wash it, even in Yom Tov, Koshkim Shabbos, all the most on Shabbos, because this is for a different reason. What it means, it's tiled. It simply shouldn't do the way he normally does during the weekday, because then the Yovil Hashbaz Gumis, he might come to smooth out the pits, Bismanchu Isakin Bemokim Shainarotzev, at a time when he's going to be doing the same thing in a place that's not tiled. So therefore, not to be the same similar as during the weekday, he's not allowed to do these actions even when it's tiled. Halacha Dalet. Chatzesh neskalkel b'meim ha'gsham. We have a courtyard that got ruined from the rainwater. So what you could do is maybe tevin, you could mean straw, umedadaba, and you could scatter it around the courtyard. Now, Kshemanada, when he does scatter it, lo yirad, you shouldn't scatter it, lo yibasav, lo yibakupa, not with a box, not with a container, lo yibashuli hakupa, has to be with, if the box broke, and you just have the bottom of the box. Again, that's what's known as Ubdin Dechol. Many of these Shavuos now, it can't be the same way you do it during the weekday, because if you do it the way you do it during the weekday, you might come to smooth out the pits. So you have to do something different to recall, to say, oh, wait a second, Shabbos, and that it won't bring to smoothing out the grounds. Halacha moves on to the next malacha, that of Zriya, of sowing, of planting. Hamashkeh Esazram, if someone waters the seeds, Chayim Mishm Zriya, is a liability of the malacha of planting. Lufikach, therefore, a related concept. Also, Lishav Min Habar Begalgal, you're not allowed to draw water from a pit with a pulley, because Gezerit, that's a decree, hey, you're pulling up so much water, Shemim Ali Ganoza Bechavasi, then you might draw the water for his garden, for his churva, where he has things there growing. And Umamneza, but because of this, Imhoya Bershal Galgal, if this pit with the pulley was Bechatzer in the courtyard, which is an area that you don't have a garden over there, then Mutlam Asim and Bagalgal, then you're allowed to draw the water with a pulley. It's only a concern because it might come to bring to water the seeds, and there's no such concern over there in that area. Halachava moves on to the next malacha of Ketzir, of harvesting, and the related malacha of Toilish, of detaching. HaToilish, if someone detaches something from its growth, Chayim Hashem Ketzir is liable for harvest for detaching. Lefigur, therefore, also Lirdus Devash. You're not allowed to pull out the honey, Mekaveres B'Shabbos, from a beehive on Shabbos, Meshuk HaToilish. It's like detaching because you're uprooting the honey from where it's connected into the beehive. And in Oilim Be'ilon, now I'll go up on the tree, Bein Lach Ben Yavish, whether it's moist or whether it's dry. And ve'initl me'ilin, you cannot hang yourself from a tree. Ve'inismach me'ilin, you cannot lean on the tree. Below yalbim oydyim, you can't even go on a tree from before Shabbos, leishir shem kolim kuli, to stay there in the tree the whole day. And ve'imishtam shem b'machu b'lekarka kala, you can't utilize anything that's connected to the ground at all. And it's exer, it's a decree shem yitlish, because you might come to detach something which is the malacha of kaitzim. Halacha zayin, peidish shenoshter b'Shabbos, regarding fruits that fell off from the tree on Shabbos. I'll eat those fruits until after Shabbos. Gezer, binik decree, shami yitlish. You might come, if you could have those that fall off, you might come to tear it off on Shabbos. Hadassah mechuber, now, an attached myrtle branch, mutal rechbo, you're allowed to smell it when it's connected to the ground. Shain hanayase el rechbo, because the whole benefit you get from the myrtle is only the smell. And you can smell it even when it's attached. There's no reason to make you detach it. Abel esrig v'tapuch, but to smell an esterig or an apple, and anything that's fit for eating, then I'll smell those things when it's attached. It's a decree, because then you might detach it to eat it. So those things besides smell also as eating, then you can't smell it when it's attached. Elon the tree, if its roots were above the ground, a height of 3 tefachim, then you're not allowed to sit on them, because, again, you're not allowed to utilize a tree, and above 3 tefachim is considered as a tree. But in Gvayim Shleishev, it's not 3 tefachim, it's not 3 hand-breadth high, Hayim Karetz, we consider it as like the ground. No ground is perfect, and therefore then you're allowed to sit in it. It's like sitting on the ground. Now, Hayiboyin Mamala Meshleishev L'Toyek Shleishev, what happens is that after it went to a height of 3 tefachim, it then bent downwards, and now it's back down within 3 tefachim of the ground. Mutzal L'Shamash, so you're allowed to utilize the area that's not 3 tefachim high. Now, let's say it was 3 tefachim high. So then, even though the other side is equal to the ground, let's say, gets low in certain parts. So in one part, it's above 3 tefachim. The other part, it's actually equal to the ground. Or there is a cavity beneath it, the height of 3 tefachim. Then I'll sit on it, even though on one side it's equal to the ground, but there is a height of 3 tefachim, then it's forbidden. Halacha test. One's not allowed to ride on the animal on Shabbos. And that's a gezeira related to the previous one, because you might cut up a branch to conduct the animal to get it to go where you want it to go, and you're riding by, you're going to pull off the branch, so therefore you can't ride on the animal. And you cannot hang yourself on the animal, and neither could you even go on the animal from before Shabbos, later, but Shabbos to stay in it on Shabbos. And you can't even lean on the sides of the animal. But the sides. So, for example, let's say regarding that of the tree. If you stick a peg into the tree, so and then you stick a basket on that peg, so that basket is the sides of the side of the tree, because the peg is the side, and then it's attached on the side, and then the basket is the side of the side. Essentially, really, the tree is the side, and then the peg is the side, but that's utilizing something on the side of the sides. Mutarin, well, that would be permitted. Now, Allah be'ilun b'Shabbos b'Shagiv, if someone went on a tree on Shabbos by mistake, so then Mutal Leirin, he's allowed to come down. But Mezer, if he did it deliberately, us Leirin, we don't let him even come down. Oh, by Behemoth, now regarding an animal, Afil B'Mezer Deir, even if he went on the animal deliberately, he does come down. And that's for a different reason, Mishum Tzar B'Lechayim, because of the pain of the living animal. And so to became parking the masim al b'im Shabbos, you're allowed to unload a load from an animal on Shabbos, but from tzar b'lechayim, because of the pain of the living creature, therefore we say you could take it down. As Halacha Yud illustrates, Ketzad, how so that we unload the animal. So if Hoysa behemtoi, if his animal was tu'una sholav shal tzvua, was laden with a load of grain. So what you do is machnas reisha tachtabi. He puts his head beneath the load, umasalko tzaracha, and he moves it to the other side of the animal, and it falls by itself. Let's say he was coming from a journey and he came in on Friday night and his animal is laden. So when he gets to the outermost courtyard, which is finally to a safe place, then you take off the vessels that could be moved that are not mukta on Shabbos. But those that cannot be moved because they're mukta, not achivalim. What you do is you untie the rope and the sacks, they fall by themselves. Let's say the sack were fragile things that could break. So if they were small sacks, so what you do is maybe karma kutsasis, you bring pillows and blankets, and you put it beneath them, and then the sacks fall onto the blank, onto the pillows. Shada'im yirtsa, because if he wants to, lishlif akar, to pull away the pillow, shalif, he can pull it away, because the sacks are small and light, and you'll be able to pull out the pillow. So benimtsa shalai bitl hakli me'achanai. There's a prohibition of nullifying a vessel from its preparedness. It's either a problem of like soiser, you're undoing something, but it's a problem. So, but here you're not undoing it because you'll be able to take it out. Now, but let's say he was laden with bars of glass. So there, matra sakim, you untie the sacks, the him leif and they fall because she'afa b'sheisha. But although the glass obviously is going to break, it's not such a big loss. Anyways, the glass is going to be melted down. We'll have some mudle chashur, and for the little loss of the little shards of glass that are scattering, that we're not concerned for. But let's say they were large sacks. And more of them, lame clays, chuches, or gates of them, and they're filled not with glass bars, but glass vessels, or similar type of things. So then, poedik benachas, then you could unload it, not by just letting it fall and shatter, but calmly. Because of the great loss, they permitted one to move it and to nullify a vessel from its preparedness. But at all costs, don't leave it on the animal, like we're saying, because of the pain of the living creature, which is written in the Torah to the prohibition of Tzar Balachai. Halacha Yilav, continue with the next malacha, that of ma'amr, of gathering together into a bundle. Samadabik paters, if someone connects fruits, until becomes one substance, that's a liability for gathering together. The figure, therefore, mission is possible to pay his bagatze, but someone has his produce got scattered in his courtyard. Malakit al yod va'echel. He could pick one at a time and eat it. But he's not allowed to put it, lo yitech hasal, lo yitech hakupa, not into the basket, not into the box, kedech shoyes b'chol, the way he does during the weekday. Because Shem Yasek, kedech shoyes b'chol, if he's going to do the way he normally does it during the weekday, Shem yich b'shem b'yod, the betech hakupa, he might press it in his hand, in the box, but yobu de'imer, that's going to bring to that malacha ma'amu, when you press it together into one substance. You're allowed to gather together the salt or similar types of things. Because that looks like ma'amr. It's not literally ma'amr because ma'amr is only by gedulei karka, things that grow from the ground. The salt doesn't grow from the ground, but it appears like ma'amr. Therefore, that's also forbidden to be done. Halachi Beis continue with the next malacha, that of dush, of threshing, which has the related idea of extract or squeezing, schita. So mefarik, if someone extracts something, chayim shem dush, that's a liability for the malacha of threshing. So, someone squeeze out olives or grapes, he's liable for extracting because those fruits are designated for their liquids, olive oil, grape juice, wine, and therefore squeezing it out is taking the liquid from the solid. It's like dust threshing, which is taking the kernel out from the husk. Therefore, you're not allowed to either squeeze out berries or pomegranates. Since some people, they squeeze it out, like olives and grapes, which everyone does, because if we let you do it by tutim b'rimayim, you might come then to squeeze out olives and grapes, which is the malacha. But other fruits, kagoyim, parishin, quinces, v'tapuchim, and apples, v'zrodin, and sorb apples, that you're allowed to squeeze out on Shabbos, because there's no name of beverage on the fruit juice that comes out of it. So it's really similar to like taking a food out from a food. It's not a mashka from a food, it's like a food from food. Because these are not things that are squeezed for their juices, so it doesn't have the halachic title of a mashka. Halachic gimel. Kvashim, things that are pickled, or shlokas, and things that are well cooked. Sheschatam, where you squeeze it out. So it depends. If your purpose is to just soften the body of the item, which you don't need the juice to come out, so therefore there's no schita over here, so mutter is permitted. But if you wanted to get the juice out, well, also that's forbidden. That's the same idea about schita. And the imaraskin is a shelig. You're not allowed to crush snow, that the water should flow. Same idea. But you could crush it into a plate or into a cup, and that would not be a problem. Hashum, garlic va'abayser, and unripe grapes, or va'hamalilois, which are grain that's also unripe. Shediska mebayoyim, where they were crushed from before Shabbos to get out its oil, but it's still lacking certain processes. So, imachusarim dicha, if it's still lacking to be crushed in the mortar, which you crush things to make it finer. So also ligmar dechas on Shabbos. Now to finish that crushing on Shabbos. But v'mechusarim shechika b'yad, if the only thing you're missing is a grinding by hand, mutu le ligmar shechikas on Shabbos, that's permitted to finish that crushing with the hand on Shabbos. Now lefikach, therefore, mutu ligmar shechikas harifas, you're allowed to finish off the crushing of the rifas, which is a barley food that's crushed in the grinder. You could do it be'etz ha'parer, with a wooden spoon, b'teich ha'gedeh b'Shabbos, in the pot on Shabbos, because it's only really missing only a little bit of crushing and mixing. Acha shemerid noisem alayesh, as long after you took it off from the fire, then you're allowed to go ahead and crush that a little bit more. Halach yodalt, ha'moylil, if someone crumbles between his fingers, melilis, the grain from the husks. So moylil b'shino, he has to crush it in a deviation a little bit from how he normally does it with his fingertips. And kadei, meaning he does it with his fingertips, not with his not just between his regular fingers, but on the tips. Kadei shalei yodar kadosh, that it shouldn't appear like the threshing, which is really the same idea. Hayinik bepiv, if someone nurses, suckles with his mouth straight from an animal, patri is exempt, because although that's essentially mafarik, taking a liquid from a salad. Now the moyigineach. Now, if he was groaning in pain, where the therapy is actually to nurse the milk straight from the animal, mutu lelinik bepiv. Then he's allowed to go ahead and suckle with his mouth. Nishu mefarik lachiyad. Why do we see a potter? Why isn't it a problem about mefarik about dash? Because it's in a what's called a backhanded way. It's not normal to suckle straight from a cow. So umbeshum tsara. In this case, where the guy's in pain. They didn't decree, even though there's no danger to life, but in the Mokam Chayli, Mokam Tsar, they weren't geyser, this rabbinic prohibition of when you're doing mafarik, kalachayar, in an indirect way. If you have fruits that liquid oozed out from it, beverage on Shabbos. So if they're grapes and olives, you now drink from those liquids that were sitting in the bowl, those grape juice that came out of it, so from those plump grapes, until after Shabbos. It's a rabbinic decree. Then you might do it deliberately. You might intend and squeeze it out. You like the grape juice on Shabbos, which is the prohibition about tzchita. But if they're pomegranates and berries, so it depends. If you put it into the bowl for eating, people want to eat those cherries. So mashkin shazav mehem, the juice that's squeezed, that oozed out of it, is permitted. But if you actually put it into the bowl because you want to press it, then mashkin shazav mehem, masur mitzvah Shabbos, then the liquid that oozed out of it are forbidden to mitzvah Shabbos, because then you have the same concern, you might come to squeeze it out on Shabbos. Halacha design. Zeisim ha'novim, olives and grapes, shedisko mehem Shabbos, which are crushed from before Shabbos. V'yotz mehem mashkin me'atzman, and now the liquid's oozing out from it on itself. So then mutar, and it's permitted because it's already been squeezed from before Shabbos. V'chin chalas dva, show two honeycombs, shediska me'erev Shabbos, which are crossed from before Shabbos. Mashkin ha'yitzim and b'Shabbos mutarim, the liquid that comes out of it on Shabbos is permitted, because she'en kamakom l'gzer, because there's no room here for the decree, where, because it was crushed, so it's coming out by itself. And even if a person would crush it with his own hands, they wouldn't be chiv of chattis, because she'kvar iskam b'erev, because it was already crushed from the evening, from before Shabbos. Halachit zayin, continue with the next malachas of winnowing and boyer of selecting. So Zaira, winnowing, boyer, and selecting, ma'avas malachas, and they're from the primary categories of the prohibited malacha on Shabbos. Levikach, therefore, af ha'beishamutah limlum malilas barashit boyer, as we spoke about in previous halacha, although you're allowed to go ahead and crumble those grain from the husks with his fingertips on Shabbos, but kashun menapech, when he blows, because he's got to blow off the husks, menapech biyodeh achas, he blows with one hand, b'chol koichi, with all his strength. Avaloi b'konim, But he can't use a vessel that's made like a funnel, where you shake it and the food comes out, but the waste matter remains on the top. Neither can use a large serving platter, because gezeret, it's rabbinic decree, shemi napa benafa kvar. If we let you use these type of tools, you might use a bona fide tool, a sifter and a sieve, shulchai, which that would be a liability for a buyer and on Shabbos. Now, v'mashamer shemarim, if someone is sifting wine with a mashameris, which is a type of a sack that you put inside and the sediments stay in there and the wine comes out crystal clear, to let this boyer medakadu, that's a derivative either of selecting or of sifting. Although you're allowed to sift clear wine, or might still no clear water, bisudarn with a kerchief, or big fiva mitzvahs, or with a basket that's made out of palm fronds, because that's not really sifting because it's clear. Lo yasa guma basud, but don't make some type of a hollow in this a kerchief in the opening of the vessel the way you do during the week. Because we don't want you to do the way you do it during the week, because then you might come to actually sift it with a mishameres, which that's prohibited. We said you could do it with a kerchief or with a wicker basket, but not with this mishameres. So therefore, when you're doing it even with the sudr, don't make a guma, because then it's going to be very similar and you might come to use a mishameres. Also, litlis is a mishameres. So do you not let us suspend this mishameres, this sifter, like the way you do it during the week? If you're going to hang it up, you might come to actually use it. So someone makes butter by curdling the milk and mixing it to let this butter. That's a derivative of selecting, because it's separating the parts. You're allowed to put in sesame seeds and nuts into honey. So don't gather it in your hand, which to separate it from the honey, because that's also similar to this malacha of butter. The next malacha of toichen, of grinding. If someone slices vegetables very thin, to cook it, that's a derivative of the malacha of grinding, and it's going to be liable. You're not allowed to crush or shred, which is the vegetation of grain before it's fully matured, which is used for animal fodder. And neither carobs, you're not allowed to shred them in front of an animal. Bendaka, bengasa, with a small livestock or large livestock, because that looks like grinding, because you're cutting it very very thin. Aval mechatchem, but you could cut as a diluin the gourds like pumpkin. Lefnei behem in front of an animal, besanavei lefnei aklovim, or dead animals in front of the dogs, because she'ain tchina bepeidus, because there is no malach of grinding by fruits. Which is really going on what we said before. We said you cannot shred the shachas because it looks like teichen, but we're saying it's not literal grinding because there's no tchina, there's no grinding by peiros. Umatirin alumay shel omer lefnei behemi, you're allowed to untie bundles of straw in front of an animal, and a mefasfes b'yadoi, you're allowed to go ahead and scatter it with his hand, which that's what they would do for the animals, which makes it better for them to eat because when it's tightly pressed, it gets hot and it doesn't give them a good smell, and therefore they're not interested in eating. You're allowed to do that for alumis ketanis, small bundles. Abaloi alumis gedolos, not large bundles, because that's a large effort. You're not going to go through such a large effort for the animals on Shabbos. Look at your test. Chavilei pia, bundles of pia, which is a type of a sprout that they make from its root a red dye, or ve'ezov, or the hyssop, which is a small sprout that has a good smell, or ve'kedonis, which is a sprout that has a very good and sharp smell, which these herbs could be used for fuel, it could be used for animal food, therefore everything goes based on the person's thoughts, or some types of things. Shechnis l'machabem, if it was gathered for the purpose of animal food. So a person could utilize them on Shabbos, he could cut off and eat with the tip of his fingers these items. But not in his hand many. Because we don't want to do it the way he normally does during the weekday, because then the yavi lodug, he might come to make it very thin again, which is like crushing, grinding, which would be the malach of toichen. Now halachachav, a related discussion regarding the prohibition of refuah of medicine on Shabbos, which is related to the malach of toichen. So hatzarch lodug pilpul emakitzmim. Someone needs to crush pepper or some types of things, litun toichen machal b'Shabbos, because he wants to put in his food on Shabbos. So hadiz a kaisish biyada sakin. What he does is that he has to crush it with the handle of a knife, meaning not with the pestle, which is the item they usually use to bang, and uvakada with a plate, but not with the mortar, which is what you usually bang on. So you have to change both by the mortar and the pestle, which instead use the back of a knife on a plate. But not with a mortar, because that would be a problem about grinding. That's why it's forbidden for a healthy person to do medicine, to do some type of a treatment, a healing treatment on Shabbos, because it's a gzeira, it's a decree, he might come to grind the herbs, which much of medicine is grinding down herbs and swallowing it. So if we let you do refu, you might come to do the malacha of teichen. So a person is not allowed to eat things on Shabbos which are not healthy people type of foods. Could go in, for example, a zoivyon, which is a sprout, has a very strong aroma that kills the intestinal worms. Or a fia, which we mentioned this before. And neither things that are diuretic. Could go in lana, which is a bitter herb, which they make some type of a potion for medicine. Okay, it's some types of things. You know, these are medicine items which are forbidden. So do you not allow to drink items that a healthy person won't normally drink? For example, when you have this water that was cooked with these herbs and these grasses, those are forbidden to take as medicine on Shabbos. Now, however, a person could eat food items or mashkin or beverages that the normal healthy people do eat and drink. For example, hakuzbira, coriander seed, or bakshus, or hops, ways of a hyssop. That is, although these are healing, and the person is actually eating it to get healed from them, it's permitted. Because it's healthy people take a glass of tea. They take these things, although it's healing, but it's a very normal thing that's not indicative that it's for healing purposes. Now, shosach chilsis, if someone drank chilsis, which is a sprout that has a very strong smell, that they soak it and they drink that soaked juice for medicinal purpose, but he drank it mikoydim Shabbos from before Shabbos, which the way the treatment was, they normally drink this potion for 3 consecutive days. And he's continuously drinking this drink. So he's allowed to drink that on Shabbos. Even if it's in places which the healthy people generally don't drink this chiltis, because he's already been drinking this from before Shabbos. And the Egyptian zaysim, that you're allowed to drink in old places which they take salt and flour, barley flour and the zerikarkum from the desert, and they soak it in water for medicinal purposes, because it's also something that healthy people would drink. So to oils that healthy people generally anoint with, you're allowed to anoint with on Shabbos, even though his intent is for medicinal purposes. But if it's not that healthy people would normally smear themselves with, then that's forbidden. If someone has pain by the groin area, he should not smear himself with wine and vinegar, which only sick people generally anoint him with. But he could smear on oil, which healthy people do, and it's not recognized what's being done for refuah. But he cannot use rose oil, which is very expensive, and a person would only use if he needs it for therapeutic treatment. Only if it's a place where healthy people would smear it. But it's permitted to anoint one with oil and salt in all places. Now, if someone banged his hand or his foot, he could help it contract, constrict with wine. But we cannot help it constrict with vinegar, because that's definitively for therapeutic reasons. Now, if the person was a pampered person, then even with wine would be forbidden for him, because for him, wine, since he's so delicate, is also considered a little bit strong, which would be harsh on his flesh and cause it to shrivel, which would be a medicinal type of a treatment. If someone has tooth pain, a toothache, he's not allowed to go ahead and sip vinegar and spit it out, because you could tell from the fact that he's just sipping it, and then he's spitting it out, that he's doing it for medicinal purposes. But it could sip and swallow. You could be drinking that, although it's going to be healing. If someone has a pain in his throat, they cannot gargle with oil, but he could swallow a lot of oil. He gets healed, but he'll be taking out oil, which will be helpful, but it's not indicative that he's doing it for refuah purposes. A person cannot chew a certain type of a gum, which is a sap that drips out from a tree, which is very therapeutic and it's good for bad breath. So you can't chew that. Vein shofen asishnayim b'sam b'shabbos. Neither are you allowed to brush your teeth with a certain potion on Shabbos, or with certain medicine, if the intention is for healing. But if the nechapeh, if his intention is only for the bad breath, well, then mutter, that's not considered healing, that would be permitted. A person is not allowed to put wine into his eye. Putting it straight into the eye is indicative for a therapy, but he could put it on top of the eye. And if it drips in, drips in. Now, v'drik tafel, which is spittle from a person who didn't eat anything yet from when he woke up in the morning, afel al gav ha'ayin asa, even to put it on top of the eye is forbidden, because since that's repulsive, if you're putting it on top, it would only be for food purposes. Kilur, an eye salve, shashar oisim erev Shabbos, which was soaked for me before Shabbos, mevir al gav ene b'Shabbos, you're allowed to put it over the eye on Shabbos, and v'ene cheshesh, you don't have to be concerned that it looks like as if you're bathing, but they only permit it only if it was soaked from before Shabbos. Mishaloka be'etzboi, someone got a wound on his finger, le'yichulav gimi k'deil rapois, he's not allowed to wrap it with a reed to heal it, and v'lo'yit chiken b'yod, he's not allowed to press it with his hand, k'deil lo'yitzim en'adam, to extract blood from his finger. Halacha vav, ein nois n'chamen b'shem al gabay makam, a person not allowed to put warm water or oil on his wound, and v'lo'yit gabay moich shal gabay makam, he's allowed to put it on the wad, on the cloth that's on the wound, and not to put it onto the cloth, which then you want to put on the wound on Shabbos. What you could do is, you could put it beyond where the wound is, and then it could drip down and go onto the wound by itself. Now, you're allowed to put a dry cloth on the wound on Shabbos, because that's not healing, that's only that he shouldn't get cut. He shouldn't scrape against his garment against the wound. Now, but if it was old, then also then actually is forbidden, because then it actually is healing. Because then that's going to be like a healing bandage. If someone had a bandage that fell off onto a vessel, so much like I said, you could put it back on. But if it fell down onto the ground, then you're not allowed to put it back on, because that's like initially putting it on Shabbos, which we say is forbidden, because one might come to smooth out the ointment, and which is forbidden. But a person is permitted to put on this bandage on the wound, initially in the Beis HaMikdash, because she'ein issa shvus b'mikdash, although rabbinically it's forbidden, as we said, but in the Beis HaMikdash there's no rabbinic prohibitions. Now, in old places, you could clean the opening of the wound, but you cannot smooth out the bandage, then you might come to smooth out the ointment, which would be mamarich, which is a malacha that's forbidden on Shabbos. Halacha chavches. Sochin umemashbash, the person could anoint and push bibnei ma'ayim b'Shabbos on the intestines on Shabbos. But who, as long as she yosach v'imashbash v'asachas, that you do the anointing and the pushing at the same time, so that he shouldn't do the way he normally does during the weekday, which is first anoint and then to do the pushing. Now, the emes amal b'Shabbos, the person is not allowed to do vigorous workout on Shabbos. Is there a masamal? What's considered a masamal? Zesh doisim al gufei b'koyach, like a massage, just a press on the person's body with force, at sheyiga b'yizia, until he gets worn out and he sweats, or yet sheyhalach at sheyiga b'yizia, or he jogs, he does exercise until he gets worn out and sweats. Kosha asli ageas atzmi kadei sheyizia b'Shabbos, the person is not allowed to exert himself until he sweats on Shabbos, neshidavu, because that's it's healthy, it's for therapeutic purposes to perspirate. It's also forbidden to stand in the ground of Dimusis in Eretz Yisrael, which was a medicinal type of a bathhouse where the waters were salty and the mud that's salty there is warming and it's healing. Because again, that's very vigorous workout for the body and it's healing. Halacha chavtes. The person is not allowed to bathe in water that causes a person to have diarrhea. And neither in mud that he sinks into, what's called quicksand, and neither in the flax water that has become spoiled, not in the Sea of Sidon, meaning in the Yam HaMelech, in the Dead Sea, not in the bad waters that are in the Mediterranean. And the reason they should call it Lutzarim, because all these things are pain for the person. That says in the Pasuk, that you should call it for Shabbos a delight. And you can't do things that pain you. If he doesn't delay himself in there, it comes out right away. Then even though he has scabs, he has these blister wounds on his skin, on his head, mutter, it's permitted. Because again, then you're not going to be in the state of tzar as you're there you're not there in the water too long. Halacha lamed. Ein misgarden b'megredes. A person cannot scrape himself with a scraper. Now, v'mhoi yodem luchloches b'tzoy b'tid. Now, a person's hands were dirty. And the reason why you're not doing the scraper is because it's obdin duchel. It's like a weekday type of activity. But if v'mhoi yodem luchloches b'tzoy b'tid. Now, if his hands were dirty with excrement or with mud, then Gary Kadaka Ben Khajan can scrape in the normal way and he doesn't have to be concerned because that doesn't look like a weekday activity. It's just getting rid of the dirt. Sachin, you could anoint, umafarchin, and you could crumble the scabs of a wound, la'adam for a person, la'inik for pleasure on Shabbos. Avalil behemah, but not for an animal, because you now go through such an effort, what's called tircha, tircha is forbidden, for an animal's oinig on Shabbos. Now, vimhoy latar, but if the animal had pain, the mutal hasatzah, then you can remove its pain, besicha, with anointing, uperich, and with crumbling those scabs. Behemish ochle karshin harbe. Now, if the animal ate a lot of vetch, which by eating so much of this, it gives it an intestinal illness, so meritzen nice b'chatz, you could have it run around in the courtyard, but shvushat zestrapik, so that it should make it heal. Now, v'mchaz adam, if its blood gets grabbed onto, in a sense, meaning that it gets the certain illness of its blood, you could have it go into water so that it cools off. We're not concerned that, oh, then you might come to grind herbs for it, which is the whole reason why we say that you now do medicinal therapeutic things for a person, because a person is not so confounded so much that he's going to do malacha on Shabbos for his animal. For a person, he might, because he's overwhelmed by his ailment, but an animal is no, that you don't have that concern. A person is not allowed to vomit his food on Shabbos. Now, when we say that, b'sam, if he uses some type of a medicine, because they make him to grind the herbs. But to stick his hand into his mouth and to cause himself to vomit, mutter, that's permitted. It's forbidden to press against the abdomen, the stomach of a child, to force the waste matter, the excrement out. You might come to give him a drink, that's of a potion that caused him to relieve himself to as a diuretic. Now, you're allowed to turn over a cup over the navel, over the belly on Shabbos to pull it up. And you're also allowed to go ahead, and if someone has that, the vertebrae of his neck fell into where the throat area is. So you hang him from his head so that his neck should straighten out, so it's like choking him. Ulalafif, or to wrap with garments to straighten out the limbs, which are very soft, and they get dislodged from the travails of childbirth, you're allowed to do those things for esakut and for the child. Well, halas is nam, you're also allowed to lift up the ears, bim bayud, a person's ear, where he hears from, bim bayud, bim akeli, whether with hand or whether with a vessel. Well, halas ankali is also allowed to lift up the cartilage of the chest, because shakal elav gaitzim, all these things that we're saying are permitted, there are similar types of things, ein oisin oisim bisamon, those are things you can't do with medicine. To be concerned that you might come to grind, and he has pain from them. So therefore, there's no concern of refu, and if you're allowed to do that on Shabbos. Halacha lamed beis continue with the next malacha of merakid. Hamerakid is someone regarding sifting. Ma'avas malacha is from the primary forbidden categories on Shabbos. Lafigal, therefore, in kaivrin es ateven bechvara. Now let us sift the straw with a sieve. V'lo yinich hakvara sheish b'teven. And either you're allowed to put a sieve, which is a type of a sifter that has straw, b'makom gavah, in a high area, b'shvil she'ered hamoit, so that the chaff should fall down, meshukam rakid, because that's like sifting. Avabon, noit latav mechbar, you could take the straw that's in the sieve, b'may lechlevis, and you could now bring it to the trough. Afa b'she'ered hamoit, b'shaz alach, although the chaff is going to be falling down as he's walking, shade'in meskam lechach, because that's not his intention, and therefore that's not forbidden. Halacha med gimel, regarding the next malacha of lash, of kneading, and related to that of megabel. So megabel, which is if someone puts water in flour or in earth, and he makes like a type of a dough. So chay mishum lash, that's a liability of the malacha of kneading, which puts the particles into one mass. Levika, therefore, a megablin kemach kali harbi, you're not allowed to mix a bunch of roasted flour. Because then you might come to knead flour that's not roasted. When it's roasted, it doesn't become like kneaded. But it might bring to doing it even when it's not roasted, which would be lush. Now, but you are allowed to mix the roasted grain, which is a little bit at a time, because then they weren't geyser. of a tavush lehevi yishleish, but regarding grain that has not matured a third, shekal ois which they roasted, ve'achkach tachanu eisat chinegas, and then they crush it, a gross, meaning a large, thick type of a grinding, shrei kechol, which is like sand, which opinion the Rambam is that by ashes and thick sand and bran, there's no prohibition about mixing. And b'hiya nikra shasis, that's what's called shasis, which is when there's grain that's not matured third that was roasted, and then they grind it, this thick grinding. So mutl gabba memen b'chayim etzokei yitzibay harbe vasachas. That you are allowed to mix with vinegar and similar types of things a lot at one time. But v'hu, as long as she rach, as long as it's soft, the consistency. Abba kasha, but it's hard, asa, it's forbidden, and they should nidr kelash, because then it appears like kneading, but and then you have to change from how you normally do it. Kitzet haso. First put in the shasas, this grain, and then put in the vinegar after that. Hamursin, the bran, although the bran, which is the outer parts of the husk of the grain, although it's not fit for mixing and kneading. Still in Gavin, so you're not allowed to mix it. Shemiyavu likvul ha'offer b'kitzbe, because then you might come to mix earth and similar types of things. And v'noysin mayim agab emursin, but you are allowed to put water on top of the bran. U'moylich by hatarvid, and you could move the spoon in that mixture, shasiva ayiv, crisscross. Aval inim emaris b'yad, but he cannot mix it with his hand. Shle yodah klosh, it shouldn't look like he's kneading. Now, imloy nesarev, but if it doesn't mix well, so menadim ekli kli ha'chesarev, you could pour it from one vessel to another one until it mixes well. Then you can put the bran in front of the chickens or in front of the oxen. You're allowed to mix the bran this way in one vessel. And then you could go then divide it into many different vessels. And you can put it in front of every single animal. And you can mix in one vessel, even one kor or two kor, which are a measurement, even though it's a large quantity. Now continue on a related discussion regarding feeding the animals. So, if you are not allowed to feed a domestic animal, or chayah, or wild animal, or a bird, b'Shabbos and Shabbos, k'derech shumach b'chol, the way you feed them during the weekday, because shem yevul de kaseichas kitnis, because then you might come to grind the beans, il de lishas kemachu, you might come to knead the flour, or kriyitzbo, some of the things that you normally do for an animal. So, ketzer haso, what can you not do? Lo yachal hagomel b'Shabbos, you're not allowed to feed the camel on Shabbos, machal shleisha oy arbo yom, food. That's 3 or 4 days worth of food, which they normally do with camels because they can keep it for a long time. So that's the way you normally do it. You cannot do the normal way. Neither can you have the calf squat or similar types. And open up its mouth and to put inside of it and water at the same time, like you push it down. And I'll put into the mouth of the doves or the chickens to a place in their neck and their throat where they can't, you can't take it back out. Okay, that's how it's normally done. But you could feed the animal standing up. You could have a drink standing up. Or you could put into its mouth water by itself. And vetch by itself. But in the place where you could still get it back from its throat. And he could also feed the bird with his hand, but in a place where you can get the food back out from its mouth. And you don't have to say that you're allowed to put the food in front of them, and they eat on their own. When we say this halacha, is only a creature that its food is dependent on you, the owner. His domestic or his wild animal, or the doves that are domestic, or geese and chicken. But a creature that the sustenance of that creature does not depend on him, like a swine. They find their own stuff. Or the doves of a dovecot, which they fly wild. Or bees. He's not put in front of them. Not food and not water. Now, it's permitted for a person to put his animal on top of attached grass, and it could eat, even though it's attached. But he's not allowed to put it onto something that's separate, that's muktzah, because of concern that he might actually move the muktzah himself. What he could do, he could stand in the animal's way, that it should turn its face towards the muktzah item, and then the animal will eat from it. And the same halachas apply to yamtiv.